Hey, Club 56, you can head on out of here. I leaned over while Pastor Dane was doing announcements. I leaned over to Pastor Johanna and my wife, and I said, "Man, you can really tell Pastor Dane doesn't do announcements very often, huh?" Which is awesome. It's great. It's because he's so good at preaching. We just want to hear him all the time. And so, thank you. Thanks for saying amen. Okay. Just to let you guys know, I sound this way because over the weekend, I strained my vocal cords. And so, in preparation for this sermon, I said, I don't need to speak, right? And so, if I sound weird, that's why. Also, if I run short, that's also why. I'm notorious for having short sermons as is. So I'm hoping that it doesn't affect it too very much. But I just thought I should let you guys know I don't normally sound like this. But here I am, and I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to bring the word this morning. Especially after Easter week, man. That's so awesome. Pastor Dane either really, really trusts me as the youth pastor and to speak the week after Easter, or he just forgot that he scheduled me the week after Easter, and there it's too late to change now, you know? I'd like to think he really trusts me, and so if you're new here, this is your second week coming from Easter, welcome. I'm excited for that. Man, Easter was great. God is so good. Amen? Amen? Amen. We had over 800 total in attendance, which means over 800 total heard the message of Jesus, the cross, message of his death and resurrection, the message of salvation, and that seed has been planted, and we are just praying that the Holy Spirit waters and grows and tends to that seed in their life. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
I'm glad. I'm excited. Today, we are continuing our series through Galatians. We'll be in Galatians 5, 1 through 15. Pastor Dane says, man, you should count yourself. Man, I am so glad that I'm here to hear this word. I'm here to hear the word from God. It doesn't matter, oh, I should have, you know, so-and-so should be here. It's me. I'm here now. You guys are all here to hear the word of circumcision and emasculation. So consider yourselves lucky and excited, because that's what we're reading. I like to think Pastor Dane reads these and says, I don't want to talk about that. Ethan will do that. He did the same thing with David and Bathsheba, man. It's all right. I'm excited. Excited. Before we dive into the word, I don't know why that's up here. I want you to think on a question while I'm speaking. Ponder on this, chew on it. Really, really dive into and ask yourself deep into your heart this question. Was the cross enough? That's my question for you. Think about it. Was the cross enough? You see, I feel like one of the most crippling feelings in the world for us as humans is the feeling of not being enough. The feeling of being disregarded. The feeling of not being trusted to do the work correctly. And if we're honest, it really takes a toll on us because that shot at our self-confidence hurts and we begin to shell back, right? We become not as confident. We become a little more worried. And so it eats at us. I remember this time when I was a teenager, a little bit older at the time, I was given the opportunity, the chance to speak at a youth group. And this was long before I became a pastor, but I knew that this, being a pastor, being a youth pastor, is what I wanted to do. I felt that in my life. And so I wasn't about to let this opportunity go to waste. I wasn't going to take it lightly, you know? And so I was given the opportunity to speak. I was excited to jump at the opportunity. And the pastor said, hey, I just want you to come and share your testimony. I don't need you to write a sermon or anything of that. So I was excited. And so the week before, I wrote down my testimony. I wrote down things that God has done in my life. I wrote down things that I thought were hardships, but they really were lessons that pointed me to Christ. And I was so excited, and I felt this move of God. And so I get to it on a Wednesday night. We're at youth, and I'm sitting in the seats in the congregation, and the pastor invites me up. He you know, gives me this intro. Ethan is going to come share. He's got an incredible testimony and all these things. And so I get invited up to speak, and I go and I share my testimony. Now, I don't know how long it was. Like I said, I'm notorious for having shorter sermons. So, it, you know, if that's the case, it may have been a shorter time. But I felt like, man, I left it all up there. I said what God wanted me to say, what he put on my heart to say. And I ended this testimony with, following Jesus is the best thing that you will ever do. I pointed it back to the cross. It's the best thing that you would ever do. And I say, thank you. And I go and I sit down. And the pastor comes up. He says, man, thank you, Ethan, for sharing your testimony. And then the pastor proceeds to preach another 10 minutes off of the importance of following Jesus. Once I realized what was really going on, my soul was crushed. I was brokenhearted. I said, you know, I started thinking to myself, was what I said not good enough? Did I say something wrong? Why is my testimony not enough to point to Christ that this pastor felt the need to follow up on what I said? That feeling broke me to my core and even started questioning, is this really what God has called me to do? If I'm not even good enough to share my own testimony, is this really what he wanted me to do? You see, here's the thing. The actions of this youth pastor of adding to is what Paul is talking about in the book of Galatians. If Christ has set you free, if the cross was enough, then why are you going back to the bonds of slavery, aka the work of the law? Why are you adding to the cross? Because it is only devaluing the finished work of the cross. You see, today I believe Scripture is going to reveal to us, do we truly believe in the work of the cross and trust in the freedom that God has offered us? And it will teach us how we are to live according to the freedom that we have found in Christ. And so before we go any further, let's dive into the Scripture and let's break it down. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 15 reads this, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will not take no other view. And the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by another. There's a lot to unpack in this scripture. Just in 15 verses, there is key themes. There's a lot of imagery. But there's two main ideas. And the first one is, do we really believe that the cross is enough? Do we really have faith in the cross? We see this in Galatians 5, 1 through 6. It says, for freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And Paul goes on to say, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. If you accept circumcision, he is obligated to keep the whole law, and you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So why? Why circumcision? It's important. Why is the church of Galatia so stuck on holding on to the act of circumcision that this whole book of Galatians mentions it almost every other chapter? Why? And it has to deal with this covenant that God makes with Abraham in Genesis 17. You see, God goes to Abraham, who's old, his wife's old, and they don't have kids. And God finds him well, righteous, he says. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you that I will bless you, and you will be a father of nations. You have multitude of children, right? He says, that's what Abraham means, a father of nations. He goes, and I will be their God, and you will be my people. And it was this covenant, you know? And so the covenant, the physical representation of this covenant was circumcision. That's what it was. Circumcision served as a physical reminder of the covenant between God and his people, that he would be with them and be their God and they would be his people. But why? It seems interesting. Why circumcision? Why that act? Why not get your ears pierced for God or a tattoo or, you know, like, why circumcision? Well, it's because the symbolism of it is far deeper than what we could understand. You see, the very body part, the very part of the body which brings life in future generations to come, traced all the way back to Abraham, is sinful. Sin is passed down through generation to generation, starting in Abraham, which is why we are all sinners. It flows through us. We're inherently sinful people. We are. I am. I'm a sinful person. I don't think ahead. I'm a terrible person. Guys, I knew I was preaching months ago, and I still gave and screamed and ruined my voice just for this moment. You know, like, I make bad decisions. We all do, you know? And so we're all inherently sinful. But pointing to that reality of sin, that being passed down through humanity in circumcision, there was a shedding of blood over what brought life, which reflected the idea of sacrifice, much like an altar where atonement was made, blood covering of sin. This ultimately points forward to Jesus. He, the promised seed, the son of David, took upon himself not only our sin, but the sins of the world and the brokenness that began with Adam. And he went to the cross and he shed his blood once and for all to cover all sin, making a way for a restored relationship with cross, with God on the cross. Isn't that great news? So while circumcision in the old covenant reminded God's people of both their sinfulness and his faithful love, it was always pointing to something greater, the new covenant fulfilled in Christ, where his bloody sacrifice fully accomplished what only the old sign could only symbolize. Freedom. God's love on display for us. The breaking of chains. Of slavery, which is the law that leads to death. For no one could follow the law perfectly. No amount of sacrifice could atone for all the sins of the world. So God himself came and sacrificed himself for our sins, for my sin, for your sin. This is the beauty the cross, offering us new life, a new covenant, freedom in Christ. This is why the cross is enough. This right here is why the cross is enough, because he offers us freedom from our old life. But if you don't believe that, if you choose to believe in your own works, to get you to heaven, if you choose to follow the law that leads to death, it says in verses 3 through verses 6 that you will be cut off from grace, that you have been severed from Christ, that you're obligated to keep the whole law, which you cannot do. Do you believe the cross is enough? Have you accepted the offer of freedom? Have you received the gift of salvation? And if you have, it matters how you spend your life in that freedom. How we live in that freedom matters. What we do matters. Galatians 5, 13 through 15 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and you devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Church, the reality is if you have accepted Christ, if you have accepted freedom, if he is Lord over your life, you now represent Christ. If the light of the world now dwells in you, you now shine that light out. Jesus says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it under a basket. But he puts it on a stand for the whole house to enjoy. You are a light. Are you under a basket or are you on a stand? Are you representing Christ well? Are you leading others to shackles or to praise? Are you leading others to freedom or bondage? To Christ or to the law?" You see, verse 10 says this, and it's very clear. He says, "I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is." If we are hindering those to come to Christ with our shackles, we will receive our punishment. We will bear the penalty. Are we hindering people to come to Christ? To answer that question, we must look at our lives and ask, by living as Christ has called me to live. Verse 13 through 14 tells us exactly how we are to live in our freedom. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If you want to keep the whole law, Jesus says it's served in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus was walking on this earth in his ministry time, some Pharisees asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" Now, we typically think of the Ten Commandments. They were talking about laws. There was over 600 laws to pick and choose from. So what is the greatest of the laws, Jesus? If you know everything, is what they're saying. And he gives them, to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then he adds to this, likewise, to love your neighbor as yourself. That is keeping with the law. To love God and to love others. That keeps with everything. Are we living like this? Are we truly living like this? I'm going to invite up the worship team. Are we truly loving our neighbor as ourselves? What this means is, are we serving one another? Are we going beyond what is asked of us just to make someone's day easier? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Are we showing forgiveness when it is not deserved? Are we showing patience in the times of frustration? Are we showing love when being persecuted? Because the truth is, this is what Jesus shows us every day. And I'm glad that he does, because I fail every day. Are we representing Christ well, or are we hindering those to come to Christ? At the beginning of my sermon, I asked you to think on the question, was the cross enough? And if you have said yes, how are you spending your freedom? Today, we're going to have an opportunity of response. I always believe that in the presence and the hearing of God's word and his commands, there should be a response. There should be a response of praise, of joyful noise, thanking God for all that he's done. There also could be a response of repentance, recognizing the faults in our life. That stirring of conviction is God's love for you. That stirring of conviction is God saying, now's the time, because time is running out and you won't receive that conviction stirring anymore. And you will just have to answer. I heard this. There are two forms of judgment of sin. Two times. You can be judged by your sin. In the book of Revelation, it says, on the white throne, in the great and mighty judge, stands there with a list of everything that you have ever done wrong and asks you to answer for each and every single one of them. Or you could get your sin judged for on the cross that Jesus bore here on this earth and receive grace and mercy and love. Which one do you want? The choice is now. The choice is today. There is love and mercy, grace, kindness, new life waiting for you here at the altar. If you want to receive it, there's salvation at the altar. Today's your chance to say, yes, the cross is enough. You see, there might be some of you in here who have fallen into the trap that you once believed that the cross is enough, but doubt and fear have crept in. I know this because I deal with this in my own self all the time. Where I think back onto my past and all my hurts and all the sin that I have done and all the painful things that I've committed, the people that I've hurt, and lies have crept in that, yes, Jesus died on the cross for me, but I'm still who I was. And so His grace is not enough. His salvation is not enough. The only way I can get to heaven is if with his death and resurrection, and if I serve better, and if I give more, and if I could do these things, and it's Jesus plus this. This is what the church of Galatia was doing. The cross is enough. Salvation is not dependent and based off of your works, but it's based off the work of Jesus Christ. You don't have to think about that. You are a new creation. The old has passed away. It says when you're adopted into the family of Christ, your past is no longer there. When you've been adopted, you are heirs, a new creation in Christ. Finally, there might be some of you in here that you know deep in your heart that you have not represented Jesus well. That you are a different person on Sunday in church, in this congregation, talking to other church folk than you are on Monday at work around non-church people. You've hidden that light under a basket. You see, today at this altar, you will find salvation. You will find assurance, and you will find forgiveness. I'm going to pray. We're going to close with this song. So will you stand with me? And if this is you, and you need one of these three things, step forward. Sit at his feet. There's a story of Jesus in the house of Mary and Martha. And Martha is running around in the house and she's baking all these great things and getting food and refilling and serving others. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha gets mad. She goes, Jesus, do you not see me being busy over here? Why haven't you condemned my sister for sitting? And he goes, Mary, Martha, what you're doing is good, but Mary chose the best, to sit at my feet, to receive what I have. Will you sit at the feet of Jesus and receive? Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We feel you in this room this morning. Father, we repent of hiding. We repent of adding. We repent of our sinful nature, Lord. Father, I pray for the ones in here that have not come to you, the prodigals, the ones that have ran and squandered, but feel this unexplainable desire to be here, to hear your word. I pray that you break down barriers in their life and that they would receive salvation through you. Father, I pray for the ones that have added to salvation, for fear and doubt have crept into their minds. I pray against those spirits right now, Lord, and that assurance and the love of being made a new creation would fill their heart and their mind right now in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray for the ones who have hidden the light on the basket. Father, I pray that you would begin to work confidence instilled with them, a fire, a desire to share your love and your word to everyone around them. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. During this song, if you would like to come up, now is your chance.